But when you know what sort of cash flow shortfall you can sustain, you can then engineer the type of property that you go for so that you're never in a position where the property is costing you more than you can afford or more than you want it to.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Taran Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with Kate Bakos, who will discuss how to overcome analysis paralysis, go behind the scenes and learn how quick thinking and good research can make all the difference when looking to increase your property's rent and grow your portfolio. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Bakos says that sometimes having a supportive family can prove to be an obstacle in your goal to invest.
I do move swiftly and I'm quick to make a decision, but I think the most important thing to touch on was probably my family. If you come from a caring, supportive and protective family, that can sometimes work against you when you are looking to take an educated risk, because if you're close to your parents or you value their input, you can often be guided by their ideals, and they're not necessarily the right ideals. Despite the fact that they come from a place of love, they can be too overprotective and can have a financial impact on your success as an investor. So that, I think that's the fairest thing for me to say. I've got caring parents, but they're the worst people to talk property with.
I hope they're not hearing this.
They won't be. They're not interested in property. It's all good.
She became involved early on in her journey by subscribing to Australian Property Investor and Smart Property Investment magazines, and by consulting with a great broker who gave her some insight into how the banks would assess her.
And probably not so much people, but resources. So I got involved early in buying the magazines and being a subscriber, whether it's API or YIP or Smart Property. I immersed myself in those reads and looked at what other people were doing, so that can stimulate your enthusiasm and give you a bit of confidence if you see other people doing it as well. And I also made sure I stayed close to a great broker who I met in my early years, and he was referred to me by someone at work who was an investor, and he was a great referral because it opened my eyes up to clever loan structuring and use of offset accounts and lines of credit and accessing your equity and really understanding the importance of good loan structuring for, you know, tax deductibility as well. But having control of your money is vital, and I think that was probably the most influential thing that I could have discovered, an influential person, because it opened up the possibilities. And as you can probably tell, I'm quite an analytical person, so I know how to calculate my own risk and I know how to make a decision on the back of numbers. But what I didn't really understand was how the banks view me. And so that was a really good eye-opener, because understanding how the banks assess you can help you engineer your path forward and make sure that you've got a high chance of success when you do go for a loan.
Bakos states that some of the best advice she has received has come from the personal encouragement from another property investor when she was initially worried about moving too fast.
I've had some really good encouragement from a friend of mine's dad who came out to Australia from Cyprus, and he managed to accumulate a property portfolio just through lots of hard work and just sheer determination. And he probably wouldn't have a clue that he was quite influential, but he gave me a lot of encouragement in the early days when I had worried parents telling me to stop and slow down. And he did explain, he just shared with me what his lifestyle is like now and how much freedom he's been able to get for himself and his family. And it was really inspirational. And it was really just that pat on the back and that word of advice that, you know, property is reasonably forgiving if you target broadly the right dwelling types in some good areas. You don't need to get a 10 out of 10 property. If you get a 9 out of 10 property and hold it for a long time, it will do well. So he was really influential in giving me that confidence to keep doing what I was doing and to, you know, ignore the white noise of my parents being a little bit nervous.
Wow. I'll have to get the person's name because I actually would love that kind of encouragement.
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of investors like that in every city, and Melbourne is certainly, you know, a place where you can see a wonderful migrant history of working hard and accumulating properties. And I get really excited about stories like that. But he's certainly in a position now where he's got freedom and choice.
Bakos says that when formulating her property investment strategy, it was all about building her portfolio through sustaining her cash flow while gauging what loans were attainable.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but I'll try and keep it as simple as I can. I always look at two things. Firstly, what the bank is prepared to loan me, and also what sort of surplus cash flow I'm comfortable to apportion to holding a property. Because if you're going for a growth property in a capital city, you are most likely going to have negative cash flow, particularly if you're borrowing as much as you can for that investment. So understanding how much negative cash flow you can sustain comfortably and also what the bank is happy to loan you helps set up a scenario where you can understand how much the property will cost you and what sort of rent you need to get. And there are various levers that you can pull to adjust the rent that you can get, whether it be targeting a property on a smaller size piece of land or going for a townhouse that has lots of living area and a stronger rental potential in a good area where you can reduce the purchase price by going for something on a smaller size piece of land. There's a few different ways that you can do that, and obviously every area has different property types, often different rentals. So you do need to know your areas. But when you know what sort of cash flow shortfall you can sustain, you can then engineer the type of property that you go for so that you're never in a position where the property is costing you more than you can afford or more than you want it to. And you've also got to factor in leaving enough room for the next one, and that's really important. So rather than just going for all of those cash flow properties in regional hotspots, it's not my plan by any means, I try and seesaw my approach so that I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm building up my portfolio with properties that are a bit easier to pay down and they're yielding a bit higher. And then I'm also going for properties that will exhibit really strong capital growth, but they're costing me a little bit to hold. And really putting a figure on what your overall out-of-pockets are across your entire portfolio is really important. And that will change as your life changes or your salary changes. But having a really good grasp of what the maximum is will stop you going into a property decision where you're then forced to sell it or something has to give, because selling a property that you intended to keep is just a waste of stamp duty, and it can be a bit of a financial nightmare.
After the break, we'll take a look what happens when Bakos goes on maternity leave and how it affects her property investment strategy.
I was on maternity leave and not earning enough. You then need to think about whether your strategy goes on hold or whether you target some properties that are actually putting money in your pocket.
The steps to overcoming analysis paralysis.
It's vital that you've got a full checkbox, and I think that I've got a really good system.
And the resources that Bakos recommends above all others.
I thought Margaret Lomas had some really great angles, and I certainly got an appreciation of cash flow investing when I read Steve McKnight's books.
Are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply text me your email address to 0499 88 10 40 to get your copy today. Bakos explains that while she was on maternity leave, she was forced to consider whether to place her strategy on hold or to target properties which would be more immediately financially beneficial. She also says that it is important to focus on either servicing or equity.
Well, when you're first going into property investing, if you're doing that cold, you need to either have a savings pool or you need some equity, and that can be the hardest step getting started. And the more properties you accumulate, obviously, if they're growing, you've got more equity at your fingertips. So there's two things that you need to continue buying property. The first one is equity or savings, and the next one is servicing capacity. So if you can't afford the cash flow shortfall, you won't get that property. And when that is the case, where you can't afford those shortfalls, it might be because you're on a reduced income or you've already maxed yourself out. It might be because you're in a position like I was on maternity leave and not earning enough. You then need to think about whether your strategy goes on hold or whether you target some properties that are actually putting money in your pocket. So in other words, cash flow positive properties or at least cash flow neutral. And when I was on mat leave, I was able to focus on some areas where the growth was not dramatic, but the yield was better than 6%. So for me, I was able to focus on properties that could sustain themselves that I knew the banks would say yes to, because I could demonstrate with rental appraisals that these properties could service themselves. So that's the cash flow positive or the yielding model. And then once I was back into employment and able to service the loans, I could then go for the more aggressive properties that did have out-of-pocket costs associated with them but would exhibit some decent growth. And obviously the more growth you get, the more equity you've then got to springboard back into more property. So it's a case of seesawing a little bit, but also making sure that you optimise one or both of those things, servicing and equity.
Bakos acknowledges what works for her in terms of property investment strategies doesn't necessarily work for everyone, as it depends entirely on what suits the individual's needs.
I think if I was to describe my own investment strategy, and I don't think there's any one-size-fits-all or any right answer, it's what suits you. Mine is buy and hold investment, and I have a cash flow angle to every decision I make, and it's a balanced cash flow angle, because if I just go and accumulate cash flow properties, I won't be getting that growth. And if I just accumulate growth only, I might have to work for a very long time to pay them all down, or I'll have to face the prospect of selling and making a profit and paying some debt down. And that doesn't suit the strategy I've engineered for myself. I really wanted to buy and hold and be able to pay them down and retire that debt on retirement or beforehand.
Definitely. So it's really a juggling act between the two, to be able to fund those high growth properties with the negative cash flow that you might have, using the high yielding properties to be able to inject that back, so that way it sort of self-services itself in order for it to get to a reasonable point where you can have a positive cash flow portfolio in retirement age.
Yeah,
excellent.
Absolutely. And you've got to balance risk as well, so avoiding areas where values could come off in a hurry or where vacancies could strike. That's the art. And if you can have a property that doesn't exhibit too much price fluctuation and is constantly tenanted and has a reasonable demand consistently, then you're in a pretty good place, and it just comes down to understanding the metrics.
When it comes to personal habits, Bakos admits that she's quick to make decisions and that the ability to take action has been essential to her success so far in her property investment journey.
I make a decision quickly because I process information quickly. I think asking the right people and sourcing the right answers as fast as you can, but making sure you're satisfied with the depth of research, is really vital. And I am a fast decision maker. I move fast, but that can make the difference between getting a great deal and missing out on it. And if you can overcome your fear and satisfy yourself that you've ticked all of the right boxes and just move forward, the key is taking action. I think that's what I've done really well.
Bakos agrees that analysis paralysis can be an investor's worst enemy. However, she does recognise the value of being satisfied with all the facts before reaching a decision.
Analysis paralysis is a term that's thrown around a lot in our industry, and it can be your worst enemy. That's not something that I'm guilty of. I certainly can make a quick decision, and you've got to live with your decision too. And if you do miss out any due diligence, it can bite you. So it's vital that you've got a full checkbox, and I think that I've got a really good system that I use, whether it's for myself or for clients. You just have to make sure that you're satisfied every single combination and permutation you can think of.
Kate Bakos's book, The Successful Property Investment, 48 Real Life Property Adventures, is aptly named, showcasing 48 success stories and how you can benefit from them. She also recommends various other amazing books by writers such as Margaret Lomas, Chris Graves, and Steve McKnight.
I really loved writing my book. It was all about real life adventures, a lot of which were mine, and they weren't all necessarily, you know, brilliant stories. I shared mistakes as well, because if you can learn by someone else's mistake, then you don't have to make it yourself to discover it. And it was a bit of a labour of love. I put that book together over a couple of family holidays over January breaks and got that out a few months ago. So I do recommend that anyone reading it could glean some information and learn from it. But I also had books that I loved reading in my earlier years, and they really helped me shape what sort of strategy I wanted for myself. And it's fair to say that that strategy has changed and evolved over the years too. But looking at Jan Summer's books in the early days was fabulous, because she writes in a really wonderful style and makes difficult concepts very, very easy to understand. I thought Margaret Lomas had some really great angles, and I certainly got an appreciation of cash flow investing when I read Steve McKnight's books. So they were all just some of the reads that I was able to glean some great ideas from, and I highly recommend that any keen investor have a look at all of those and certainly explore some other growth investor models as well. I've read Michael Yardney's books. I read Chris Gray's book. I thought it was great. So understanding other people's strategies and why they've worked for them is quite imperative to formulating what will work for you.
If you liked hearing this podcast about Kate's story, strategy and mindset and want to learn more from her, you can pick up her book, The Successful Property Investment, 48 Real Life Property Adventures, or you can connect with her on her website.
If they can find me on my website, katebakos.com.au, and I'm Kate with a C, I would love to hear from any listeners who wanted to ask me any questions or give me any feedback.
Thank you to Kate Bakos, our guest today at Property Investory. In this episode, we went behind the scenes of a property investing story and discovered that quick thinking and good research can make all the difference. If you want to hear about Bakos' journey, where she was a finalist for Telstra's Businesswoman of the Year, a national winner of the Buyer's Agent of the Year, and hear how you can use her experiences to improve your own property portfolio, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Kate Bakos and select that episode to listen and learn more about her story. Also, I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, feedback, or want to share your story, send me an email to hello@propertyinvestory.com and let's start a conversation. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.